Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. A massive construction project is changing the landscape across parts of East Central Indiana. Developers of Wind Turbine Energy are racing to complete a $400 million wind farm across a 15-mile stretch of farmland in Madison and Tipton counties. Why are they racing? Well, energy tax credits that help support that industry could expire at the end of the year. Depending on how the general election turns out, they might not even be renewed. So E.ON Climate and Renewables, a German company, is rushing to complete 125 wind turbines on what it calls the Wildcat Wind Farm in Madison and Tipton counties so they can be eligible for the tax credits. And now, the 300-foot towers are marching across the landscape. A strange beauty in the distance, colossal as you get closer. Each of the three blades is 160 feet long. The project is not without its detractors. Opponents of wind turbines say they can create noise that is bothersome to nearby residents. Some say the blades can kill migratory birds. But for farmers who've agreed to lease their land for the projects, the turbines make economic sense. To gauge the mood down on the wind farm, we visited with Tammy Brown, who has two of the towers on her 2,000 acres near Elwood.
Tipton County has some of the best farm soil ground in the state of Indiana, which is good. It's great because of the drought this year. Tipton County farmers have fared far better than other parts of the state of Indiana.
Today it's raining, and folks can hear the rain on the roof of the car as we drive along.
Yeah.
Y'all sort of luck out, just get a bit more rain than other parts of the state?
No, we really didn't get any more rain. It's just that the soil is so good, and it held the moisture, and it does drain well, and it's just good, rich soil. So the USDA, they came out with their estimate on corn to be only, I think, about 123 bushel. And of course, that's nationwide. But the farmers who have already started shelling some corn are getting like 160 bushels to 180 bushels, which is good. It's not what Tipton County farmers are used to. They're used to 180 to 200 bushel. But again, considering the drought conditions, it's going to be an okay year.
As these turbines start to go up, it's almost like another crop is coming up out here.
Yes, it is. It's fun to watch them go up in the process. We watched two of ours be erected, and it was just phenomenal, the process and the precision with how they did everything.
Your family grows tomatoes and has for generations.
Our family grows tomatoes for processing. We have about 300 acres of tomatoes this year, and we have about 800 acres of corn and about 500 acres of seed soybeans, and then we had about 30 acres of wheat, and the wheat's been harvested, and we're in the process of harvesting the tomatoes, but of course, since it's raining today, we can't do that.
And you grew up here. This is your family heritage out here.
Yes, the farm ground's been in the family since my great-grandparents, and they have acquired more land as time has gone on, and all the farms basically have names from either who owned it originally or who it was purchased from.
What's this farm called?
This farm that we have tomatoes on right now is called the Warner Field.
So how did the turbines come to you? I mean, was it a surprise? Did one day somebody show up and at a town meeting and announce this? Or how did all this get started?
A gentleman who works for Eon went around and was talking to different farmers about whether they wanted to have their land available for lease for a wind turbine. They had town meetings, and everyone had the option to participate or not participate, and I think that Eon has been very transparent in all that they have presented to everyone. Everyone had the option to participate or not participate.
Would you have guessed that this would be good wind turbine area?
Well, we really hadn't thought about it that much. I guess a precursor to the gentleman coming around and talking to us is we knew that wind towers had been erected several years ago, probably at least 5 years ago, and they were doing wind studies. So we knew that someone was interested in the area around here in wind. They have an idea throughout the U.S. what areas might be good for wind. So they had a tower up, and they had collected data on the wind and found that this area was good.
The turbines, to me, there's something kind of compelling about them.
They will change the landscape forever. I think they are just stunning, or I'm still in awe of them. I've seen the wind turbines out west and the ones north on 65. It is kind of neat having them here. I know that there are people who did not want them here and do not like to see them, but they're here. I think that everyone's trying to find alternative energy sources, and this is a good one.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
That's Tammy Brown, who farms in Madison and Tipton counties and has two of the new wind turbines being built along a 15-mile swath of land west of Muncie. Ahead, what the company building the Wildcat Wind Farm has to say about questions raised about the wind turbines.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now, here's John Strauss.
It's quite a sight. Giant 160-foot windmill blades and other parts of a vast wind turbine farm being trucked into east central Indiana down Interstate 69. These are the building blocks of the Wildcat Wind Turbine Farm, a 15-mile stretch of 125 turbines planned for Tipton and Madison counties. Matt Tulis is spokesman for Eon Climate and Renewables North America, the company putting this project together.
We are in construction right now. We expect to be done by the end of the year and have it up and operational. It's 125 GE turbines for about 200 megawatts of power.
How does that relate to the power used in homes? How many homes would one of these turbines take care of?
One megawatt turbine is enough to power approximately 300 homes in a year. So the fact that we have 125 GE turbines putting out 200 megawatts means that that's enough energy to power approximately 60,000 homes.
What was it that attracted Eon to this area?
There's a couple things that we look for when we're looking for a place to develop wind farm. The first thing that we're looking for is a good wind resource, and that's something that Indiana definitely has in abundance, as I'm sure your landowners will tell you. And we also look for good transmission. We've got to get a way to get the power from the wind farm out to some places where the demand is, where people are using the energy. And then we also look for places where we have good local support, where the landowners are interested in entering into a lease with our company, and where we have a lot of local support from local officials, county officials, and we've seen all those things in Tipton and Madison County.
What's the biggest thing you've had to overcome in this? Is the time frame a big challenge?
It's a little bit of a challenge, but we're, you know, used to developing, constructing, owning, and operating projects. This is actually our 17th project for Eon, and it will give us a total of over 2,500 megawatts, which is a pretty big milestone for the company. So we've had a lot of experience building and operating these wind farms, and we'll continue on looking for new places to develop and new wind farms to build.
I mean, no project like this comes along without its detractors or those who raise questions. What kind of discussions have you had with people, and how have you reassured them?
You know, I think a lot of people aren't still real familiar with wind power and, you know, what the turbines are going to look like, you know, what the landscape's going to look like, you know, especially with people who are farming and ranching. You know, they want to know specifically what the impacts are going to be on their property. But we feel, you know, that wind power is compatible with whatever sort of land use that people are doing, you know, whether they're farming or ranching, or even if there's oil and gas exploration. You know, we feel like we can add to the property, add to the revenue stream for the property owner. And we think, you know, wind is a good fit with all those things.
I think the useful life of these is around 30 years. Is that correct? And what happens to the wind turbines after they become old?
You're right. The, you know, wind turbines are, the lifespan is 25 to 30 years. The lease agreements that we have with the landowners are generally 30-year operational lease agreements. At the end of that term, we would probably be looking at putting some new technology in the ground. We'd be going back to the landowners and renegotiating another lease with them.
Give us a rough idea how much you're paying the landowners.
We don't give out the information specifically what we're paying the landowners, but I can give you sort of a general, you know, number of what sort of economic impact we're having out there in Tipton and Madison counties. We're expecting to pay more than $73 million to the landowners over the life of the project. We're expecting also to pay nearly $12 million in local salaries and spending more than $31 million in local taxes.
Let's just take on a couple of the things that are sometimes raised. Are these a problem for birds?
We make sure, as part of our due diligence, when we're looking at a place to develop, to consider what the migratory patterns are. We do at least one four-season avian study to look at, you know, the migration patterns and make sure that we're not in a place where we're going to cause any problem. And generally, building cars, even household cats, kill more birds than turbines do.
I had one person say, well, what do you think happens in the winter when those blades ice up? Is there any effect on the efficiency of the turbines or their economic viability?
We also take that into account, you know, the climate of the area that we're developing in. Some of the turbines come with a cold weather package that, you know, helps them stay warm when the weather gets cold. And so, you know, depending on where in the country we are developing, we'll definitely take that into account.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
That's a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin.
Indiana has more than 800 wind turbines, part of the green energy movement, fueled in part by lucrative tax credits. And the newest ones are part of a $400 million construction project west of Muncie in Madison and Tipton counties.
This is a crash project. They're working against a December deadline when those tax credits could expire. Appropriately enough, this is called the Wildcat Wind Farm. Crews racing to build 125 new turbines. Tammy Brown is the fourth generation in her family to farm in this area. Two of the machines are in her fields. They are enormous, more than 300 feet tall. Landowners will receive lease payments, not enough to make them rich, Brown says, but a fair price for the use of their land.
The only thing that is sort of a negative, which is why some farmers, the only thing I think is a negative, why some farmers didn't participate is because where they might be located in the field, it might make it a little more difficult to farm around the turbine and then the road that accesses the turbine. So it could break up a field, or it would break up a field that might not necessarily have been divided before.
We're driving up here, and we're seeing these turbines, and here is one that looks like they're going to put a blade on here or something. This is enormous as you get close to this.
They are enormous, and the blades come in, the actual towers come in sections. There are four sections. Then there's the turbine, which is another section, and then the blades come in individually, each on a different trailer. And then the assembly part, they put the tower together. It's like this huge giant erector set, which is so cool to watch it being put together.
It looks as if they're just out in the middle of a field, right? So aside from the idea of kind of maybe breaking up a farm field, other than that, do people, they don't make any noise, right?
They do make a quiet noise. Yes, there is, will be a noise when they're all running. But I've stood under one, and it's nothing to me. It's not loud, and it's not annoying. And it's kind of peaceful in some respects. The turbines are not any closer than 80 acres apart. And also they have very strict guidelines and limitations on how close they can be to the road, to homes, existing structures.
So we're driving north on Indiana 37, and we've pulled off the highway here, and we're on a dirt road kind of that's leading to one of these things. And the closer you get to them, the bigger they look.
This is one of our farms, so we're staring at a wind turbine that is on our property. They constructed the road to have access to the turbine, and this road will always stay here so that they have access. On either side of the road are soybeans that we are raising, and any damage that they cause to any of the crops, we are reimbursed at a very fair rate.
This is your property. Do you in any way kind of feel like, hey, that's my wind, there's our turbine, honey, look.
Yes, because we made a point to make sure that we were here the evening that they put the blades on this and to watch it, and we couldn't be as close as we are right now to it, but we had a site where we could sit and watch it go up, and it was just a precision operation to watch them put this together, and the machinery and the people around just to assemble it.
Now, we've driven up to, I would say, within 100 feet of this wind turbine, and it looks to be, it looks to me like I'm looking at a...
I think they actually said it's 24 stories.
Oh, my gosh. This is enormous. How do you feel about it?
I think I like the way they look. They're different, and like I said earlier, they do change the landscape, but I think it's like any other power lines that have gone up over the years. When they're in the process of going up, you notice them, and then after time passes, then it's just like they're there. They've always been there, and they're kind of space age looking and new wave, and so it's exciting that something this new, and even though wind energy in itself is not a new concept, but this scale is just phenomenal and very impressive.
Now, because of uncertainty about the tax status of these projects, do you get the sense that they're in a hurry, trying to put some the remaining up?
Well, they've always been on a very tight time schedule. And so the 125 turbines for the Wildcat Phase 1 project do have to be completed and operational by December 31st. Talking with the people that I do, they are on a tight time frame. They're used to it. These people, this is not the first wind farm that they've built, and they have brought in the equipment that they need and the people that they need, and their only restraint to working is generally if it's too windy, and because of the size of the crane and the size of the blades and the turbine.
Now, they haven't let you climb up in there, have they? Would you do that if they did?
Well, I would love to climb up in there if I could make it up all of those, that ladder.
Now, here we're looking at some that are just, what do you call the base part here before them?
That's just one of the, there's pieces. There's four different pieces to the base, and so that looks like just the first piece is there. And they work through these on, they have their teams, and the team, you know, the team will go through, and this team is who puts in the base, and then the next team puts in the first cylinder, and they just work through.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
An assembly line, I suppose, on ground.
Tammy Brown, a farmer in Tipton and Madison counties who has 2,000 acres of corn, beans, wheat, and tomatoes, on the effect that the $400 million Wildcat wind turbine farm is having on her community. It'll be interesting to see if they get all 125 of those new turbines built by the end of the year. In the meantime, we'll see a lot of those big 160-foot blades headed down I-69, complete with police escorts, a sign, I guess you could say, of green energy progress. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman, and glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a comment or suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, the ideas for places we should go and people we should talk with. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.